Well, this morning is a bit of an odd Sunday in our calendar year because it's after Christmas holiday, before New Year's. It's kind of that Sunday that just hangs out there in limbo. And so a lot of times on this particular Sunday of the year, I like to do a different kind of talk. I like to do kind of a state of the church address, like where we're at, what was the last year like, where are we going next year? And so this morning, if you're visiting with us, I just want to lay out some things that God has been showing us as a church family and our leadership, and talk a little bit about what the vision is that God has here. I want us, you know, we're live streaming our services now, and we're putting them on our YouTube channel for people to watch. And by putting this service on our YouTube channel, people that are checking our church out on the internet can look at this one to find out what is Auburn Grace all about. And so this morning, we're going to have a little bit different talk than normal. Normally, I have a passage in the Bible, and we talk through it, and we're going to get back to 1 Corinthians in just a couple of weeks. But this morning, I want to talk about what is it that God has us as a church family? What is Auburn Grace all about? You know, I've had the great privilege of being in Auburn Grace since it started. My parents moved us to Auburn from Sacramento in 1976. We have five kids in our family. My parents came from the Sacramento Grace Brethren Church. Not long after we moved to Auburn, another family from that church moved to Auburn. And then my aunt and uncle, the Martin family, moved to Auburn. And the three families got together and started a Bible study in my parents' home, in our home, that grew and became our church. And so my family was one of the three founding families. In 1991, we were over in DeWitt Center in the Army Chapel that's there. We were renting that facility, and we decided to build this facility and have our own church. And so in 1991, they brought me on staff as the children and youth pastor. And then in 1994, our pastor left, and I became the lead pastor here. And it was under difficult circumstances, primarily financially, because the building cost us a lot more than we expected for a lot of variety of reasons, and it was crushing us financially. And so for the first 4 years that I was pastor here, we struggled very deeply financially. We didn't have any money. Our mortgage payment was about 80% of what people were giving, and we felt like our congregation was very generous, as we feel that way today. In 1998, God brought another church that was new in town called Sunrise Church. How many remember Sunrise Church? Okay, they came and asked us if they could rent our building, and we would move out. They were renting Beach Hut Deli down there by Arco Gas Station. That was the sanctuary, and we moved out of our building in 1998, and we moved into that storefront, and it had a couple other storefronts along that way. At the time, we were about 100 people, and it was a discouraging time. You know, discouraging for me, I had been pastor for about 4 years. We had grown to about 150, but then we started to shrink, and then we moved out. 100 people went with us. Others stayed and went to different churches. And so it was a difficult season in 1998-1999. And during that time, I went to a pastor's conference at Hume Lake Christian Camps, and the speaker that year asked us pastors this question. If your church was to close its doors, would that have any spiritual impact on your community? If your church was to close its doors, would that really impact in a spiritual way your community? And I had to be honest and say no. If our church at that time had not had closed its doors, it would have had literally maybe no spiritual impact on the community. Well, that question really gnawed at me, and I brought it home. And I got our leadership team together, and I asked them that question. And then we asked the question, which was the second question the speaker at the conference asked, was, because God hasn't closed your doors, then what is it he wants you to accomplish in your community? And so we started asking ourselves that question. Okay, there's 45 or 50 churches in Auburn. Does it really need another one? And if God didn't close our doors, why did he keep us open, and what does he want us to do? And that discussion as a leadership team led to our first vision statement. The vision statement for a business or a church is a statement of why you exist. And so we had to answer the question, Auburn Grace exists to what? And in 1998-1999, we formed a vision statement that gave us a lot of direction. It helped make decisions about what to do, what we weren't going to do, and it gave us a direction for our path. And for the last 20 years, we have been working under that vision statement created back in 1998 or early 1999. Well, in 2017, we began to reevaluate our vision statement and say, okay, God, you brought that here for, you used that last one for 20 years. Where are you taking us? And maybe we need to refresh it a little bit. You know, last year I turned 55, and so I'm looking at, you know, I probably have a good dozen years left in this position if the Lord tarries. And what does he want us to do? We have a lot of dreams and aspirations as a church family. And how can we articulate what it is God wants us to be about for the next 10 or 12 years. So we decided in late 2017 to start going through a process of reevaluating our vision statement. In 2018, we fine-tuned it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about what our vision statement is all about. What are we trying to accomplish as a church family? And hopefully it deeply resonates with you. You can identify with it. And God is going to use you as part of the future here at Auburn Grace. We believe there's a great future, lots of wonderful things. I'm going to be sharing some of those specifics next week, but the reason we're doing the things I want to talk about next week is because of what God is calling us to do today in a broader sense in our vision statement, okay? So let's talk about this just for a few minutes. This time last year, I believe that God had given a verse to me about lifting up our eyes and getting back to our vision. A couple years ago, we remodeled our church, and it was a great experience overall, but there was a lot of focus about what was going on inside of our church family. And last year at this time, I thought Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, was a great motto for the year. And it just said, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I felt like God was leading our church to lift up our eyes and to see what was on the horizon, to look at the vision. And so God gave us some great direction about how to move forward. Well, these last few weeks and months, as I've been praying about 2019, I believe that God has given us the word advance, advance forward. That what he's called us to do, let's go get it. Let's begin to really ramp up the process and the momentum to do things that God is calling us to do. In the book of Joshua, there's a great story in Joshua chapter 6 about the battle at Jericho. You remember that story? Jericho was one of the great victories that God gave to his people that had just come out of the wilderness wanderings and out of slavery. And in that story, Joshua, who was the leader at the time, gets the people of Israel together, and this is what he says to them. He simply says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, go forward and march around the city. And I think that that's what God's calling us to do in 2019. That he has put some things in front of us, some opportunities that are out there. Let's go for it. Let's advance in those things. And we'll be sharing some of those next week. But when we talk about our vision statement as a church, what is it that we are all about? Very simply, Auburn Grace Community Church exists to what? To make Jesus famous. Now, this might sound very simplistic, but it is the heart of the Bible. That all of us as individuals, as families, and even as a church family are called by God to do one thing, and that's to make Jesus famous. We're to make him famous in us and then make him famous through us. Here's a couple of verses. One is in the book of John. Jesus is speaking and he says this, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now that's an interesting story going all the way back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, where the people of Israel were being bitten by poisonous snakes and God was going to rescue them. And God told Moses, the leader, to create a snake out of bronze and lift it up. And when people looked to the snake, they were spared. It's an interesting story. It's got a lot of mystery behind it. But Jesus is making a comparison. And he says in this verse, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And the Son of Man is a reference to who? To Jesus himself. He has the title of that. so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. In other words, if you lift Jesus up, people can find eternal life in him. We also find in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus again is speaking and he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw what?" Or who? All men to who? To myself. Now we know specifically he is talking about the way that he was going to die. He was lifted up on a cross, and the cross is the way through which we get eternal life with God. But Jesus is making a principle here that thousands of years later, if we just lift up Jesus, then Jesus will draw people to himself. And so when we talk about our role as a church family of making Jesus famous, we make Jesus famous so that Jesus can draw people to himself. I can't make people follow Jesus. I have no intention of trying to manipulate or force people to follow Jesus. What I'm called to do, what we're called to do, is to lift him up, to make him famous, and he will draw people to himself. So Auburn Grace exists to make Jesus famous. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, we do that by helping people connect, grow, and serve. Connect, grow, and serve. Those three words are going to be words that we're hearing all over the place. In fact, if you go out into our courtyard today, you'll see these three banners: connect, grow, and serve. Because we believe that God wants us to make him famous by helping people connect, grow, and serve. Well, let's break this down just for a few minutes this morning, and let's get an understanding of what we mean by connect, what we mean by grow, and what we mean by serve. The word connect. Connect means to intentionally build relationships. That God wants me as a human being to connect with other human beings by intentionally building a relationship with other people. That God has put people in your theater of life. God has put people at your school. God has put people at your work. God has put people in your neighborhood. God has put people in your clubs or on your team. And God wants you to intentionally build a relationship with them, to connect with them. He wants us to intentionally build relationships. That's one of the keys to making Jesus famous. Now, the first place we need to connect is connect to who? Connect to God. This, again, seems kind of obvious, but it's an important part of connecting. The first and foremost place that we connect is we connect with God. Because, again, Jesus said, if you lift me up, I will what? Draw all men to who? To myself. God is interested in a relationship with you. And there are some people that God is drawing for the first time in their life. Or maybe this is the first time they're responding to his drawing. These are people that I put there on the screen. These people are coming to Jesus. The initial relationship begins when we come to Jesus and we ask for that relationship. But connecting with God can mean more than just coming to Jesus in salvation. Connecting to God can also mean coming back to Jesus. Because all of us, if we've been followers of Jesus for a long time, know that there are some seasons where we drift and we fall away. Or maybe we even get to the point where we shake our fist in God's face and say, "No, I'm not doing life your way. I'm doing it my way." And when we're on that road of drifting, or when we're on that road of anger or rebellion against God, that God continues to work in our hearts and he's drawing us not to him for the first time, but what? Back to him. And maybe you're here this morning, and this is you. God has been doing some things in your life, and you're sensing in your heart that God's drawing you back to him. That's connecting with him. And then finally, going deeper with him, pressing in closer to Jesus. Perhaps you're walking with him, and this year, coming up, he's going to encourage you. He's going to push you, he's going to prod you, he's going to call you to get off of this level of relationship and go deeper and to press in to him more deeply, because he doesn't want this relationship with you anymore. He is calling for a deeper relationship, and he's drawing you closer. And you know what? Sometimes he does that through difficulties. And sometimes he does that through opportunities that you didn't have before. Sometimes he does that by just putting in your heart a hunger to press into him more deeply. But connecting with God is intentionally building your relationship with him. So as you look at those three, where do you need? Do you need to come to God for the first time and enter into a relationship with him? Is that where we're at today? Do you need to come back to him? Do you need to go deeper with him? That's connecting to God. The second part of connection, or intentionally building a relationship, is someone in the community. I love it that many of you are involved in things in our community. God has put neighbors around you. God has put people in your workplace. God has put people at the dog park. God has put people at Starbucks. God has put people all around us that are looking for him. And he wants you and I to be his spokesperson, his mouthpiece, to create a relationship with those people so that when the door is open, we can make Jesus famous to them. And I want to encourage us to begin to think about connecting in an intentional relationship with someone outside of our church that's in the community. Who is it that you see all the time? Who is it that you rub shoulders with in your kid's soccer club or at that book club or at that coffee shop or at that sporting event where you connect with the same person over and over and over again? And would you be willing to intentionally build a friendship with them so if God opens the door, you can share Jesus with them? Let's think this way. Let's connect not only to God, but to someone in our community. And then let's connect to people in the family of faith that we have created. And I've said this ever since I've been the pastor. I do not want to have a church where people can come and just be anonymous. Now, we're not going to police people. We're not going to hound them. We're not going to call them out. But I want a church family where people really connect. Because I believe that in a culture today where people are mobile and people are more disconnected than maybe in the past, that there needs to be a place where we can come together as a church family and be known and to know others so that we can grow in our relationship with him. So we've created ways here within the structure of our organization for you to connect with other people in our church. We have Bible studies, we have home groups, we have church services, we have events so that you can connect. So connect means intentionally building a relationship with someone. First of all with God, then with someone who doesn't know God, and then with someone in the family of faith. That's the connect. How about grow? What does grow mean? Grow means that I want to develop spiritual depth in order to produce spiritual fruit. The Bible uses agricultural a lot when it talks about your relationship with God. It talks about fruitfulness. In fact, in the book of Galatians, it talks about God's fruitfulness inside of your heart by giving you the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit that God wants to blossom in your life. And he lists 9 of them. Do you remember what they are? The fruit of the Spirit is love and what? Joy and peace and patience and kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, goodness. Thank you, goodness. All right? 9 qualities that God is trying to build in my life. I don't know about you, but I want love. I want to be a more of a loving man. I want peace and joy. And so I need to grow in my spiritual depth in order to produce spiritual fruit. Now, how do we do that? Well, we can, first of all, grow in the knowledge of his truths. This book is such an amazing book. It's composed of over 40 different authors. There's a couple of books in the Bible. We're not exactly sure who the author is. We know for sure who 40 of them are. I mean, 40 of them, but we're not sure about 2. So there might be 40, 41 maybe 42, 3.5 dozen. So out of all of the billions of people that have lived on the planet, God chose 3.5 dozen of them to be part of the Inspired Club. And by inspired, with a capital I, we mean that God spoke through them to give us his thoughts. So what we need to do as individuals and as a church family is to continue to grow in the knowledge of his truths. Now here's what we really want to emphasize. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us to study to show thyself approved. Let me read the verse to you. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. And here's how: a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So in other words, I am to be a workman, which implies I'm working hard at knowing God's word, because I want to accurately handle the word of truth. What does that mean? That means we want to encourage each of us to be a student of the Bible and not a student of a student of the Bible. Does that make sense? There are a lot of times when we read what other people think about the Bible more than we read the Bible. And we become students of a student of the Bible instead of going back to the Inspired Club themselves and learning to be a student of the Bible. That's how we get to know the knowledge of the truth. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but almost everywhere you go around Auburn Grace, people are teaching the Bible. If you go to the ambassador class that's meeting right now, Hal, the teacher, is going through one book of the Bible after another. Pastor Greg does a Sunday morning class going through one book of the Bible at a time. We have Ancient Promise. It's a ministry here that has a class during the first service teaching people how to study the Bible. On Wednesday night, when we have our list of classes, we always have a class that's on a book of the Bible. If you come on Sunday morning, you'll find that every time, almost every time, I'm going through a book of the Bible. And you might notice that I don't quote a lot of other people and what they think about what I'm going through. We just stick with the Bible. Why? Because I want us to be students of the Bible, not students of a student of the Bible. Because God has given you the Bible, and he's put the ability within you through the Holy Spirit to understand and learn the Bible. You also notice that we don't talk a lot about theological positions here on Sunday morning. We don't talk a lot about Calvinism. We don't talk a lot about Arminianism. We don't talk a lot about Reformed theology. We don't talk a lot about dispensationalism. This is my favorite. We don't talk a lot about superlapsarianism. Have you heard of that one before? That's a real doctrinal position. We teach the Bible, and if it happens to match Reformed theology, if it happens to match superlapsarianism, great. But we just want to be students of the Bible. God has done some incredible thing. He's brilliant enough to put together a book that has morals, truths, and principles for every generation and every culture. There's a huge diversity among cultures in our world, isn't there? If you look at the different cultures in our world and the customs that those cultures exhibit in their culture, there's huge diversity. And yet you can take the Bible to every culture in the world, and the morals, truths, and principles of this book can show them in their cultural setting how to make Jesus famous. Every generation has a huge diversity. The generation that's growing up right now, is it exactly the same as the generation that you grew up in? Absolutely not. Even within one culture, the generations have great diversity, and yet God was brilliant enough to put together a book and preserve a book that's filled with morals, truths, and principles that not only help every culture, but teach every generation of every culture. And we want to be students of the Bible, not students of a student of the Bible. We want to grow in our knowledge. Now, we don't just grow in our knowledge so that we can know facts. The Bible calls itself a mirror. Did you know that? The Bible says that it is a mirror, that when I read it, I should see my life in it. And it should reflect back to me answers to the questions and to the situations that I face in life. The Bible is a mirror that reveals to me my heart within my marriage. When I keep my nose in the book, it reveals to me how good of a father I am to my children, how good of a worker I am, how pure I am in my private life, in my thoughts, in my attitudes, in my actions. The Bible is a mirror, and what I need is not just knowledge. I need what? I need wisdom, because wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and apply it to your life situations. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom isn't learning new truth. Wisdom is applying truth to your marriage, applying truth to your parenting, applying truth to your job situation, to your internal struggles, to your family situations. God's given us knowledge, and then he gives us wisdom on how to apply that knowledge to life. Pastor Greg is our church chaplain, we call him, and I'm so grateful for him because he does so much of the counseling around here. And what he basically does is have people come into his office, hears what the situation they're facing, and then he opens up the Word of God and shows them through principles or truths or morals how to handle the situation that they're facing. All he's doing is showing them how to go to God's Word and not just gain knowledge, but gain what? Wisdom. We need to grow in wisdom. We need to grow in wisdom. And then finally, growing is to grow in capacity to trust and obey. Some of you have gone through something this last year that you, or the last couple years, that you never thought you'd have to go through. And at the beginning of the situation, as you looked into it, you thought, this is way too big for me. But you know what? A year, 2 years, 3 years later, here you are. You've survived. God has expanded your capacity to handle bigger situations and still trust and obey him. Some of you have been getting pressure from other people at school or at work or in your community to shy away from your faith. And you've decided that you're not going to cave into the cultural ideas around you. You're going to stand up for the truth of God's word. And you found that, wow, you have capacity to be stronger than you thought you would be. That's because God is growing you. He's growing you. So growth, when we talk about growth, connect, grow, and serve, we talk about growing in knowledge. We talk about growing in wisdom and growing in capacity. Growing in capacity. That's the word grow. Now, what about this last one, the word serve? Serve. What does serve mean? Serve means that we're going to nurture someone else's spiritual growth. That part of our role as followers of Jesus is not just to focus on my growth and maturity, but it's also to nurture someone else's growth. If I were to ask you a question, now that 2018 is over, name someone in your life that you have nurtured their spiritual growth. Could you come up with a name? Someone in your theater of life that God has used you to help nurture their spiritual growth, their spiritual life. I want you to be able to list people because God wants to be famous in you, and then God wants to be famous what? Through you in the world around us. How does that work? Well, one of the ways that we serve is we can talk about serving each other. I've always said from the very beginning that we have several spiritual meals a week here. That we have events and gatherings that I call spiritual meals. This church service is a spiritual meal. We come and we have great worship and we have the word and we eat and we dine and we go home. This is a spiritual meal. We have classes on Sunday morning that are spiritual meals. We have kids programs that are spiritual meals for the kids. We have youth programs that are spiritual meals for the youth program. We have home groups or life groups, we call them, that are also, those are spiritual meals. We have Bible studies during the week that you can attend. Those are spiritual meals. We have Wednesday Night Live classes. Those are spiritual meals. We've always encouraged everyone at Auburn Grace to engage in 3 spiritual meals a week. Each meal is about an hour and a half. That's 4.5 hours a week. I want to encourage you to consider this new year engaging in 3 spiritual meals a week. And I want to encourage you to dine at 2 of them and to serve at 1 of them. That you would come twice a week to church and to Sunday school or church and a life group, and you would just glean from what other people are pouring into you. But one time, you would nurture someone else's spiritual growth. Because if I understand the Bible correctly, God has put some spiritual gifts inside of you, and he's brought you to Auburn Grace, and those spiritual gifts are for the benefit of someone else's spiritual growth, and he's purposely brought you here to share those gifts so that you can nurture someone else's spiritual growth. How can you do this? Engage in 3 spiritual meals a week, dine at 2, and serve at 1. The second one was be involved in a community project. I love it that our people are involved in community projects. I love it that people are part of the PTL club, or they're part of their kids' soccer organization, or they're part of a service club like the Lions or whatever, and you're out there and you're in the community and you're reaching people and you're helping our community to improve. You know, one of the things that we're moving forward with and advancing this coming year is the 6 acres that we own right next to us that we're going to put a park there. We've been talking about this for years, and God has kind of stirred things up to move that project forward, and there's going to be a soccer field and a softball field, and there's going to be a playground for kids and an amphitheater, and there's going to be just a place where our community can come to a park and enjoy recreation together, and we're going to use that as an opportunity to tell them about Jesus somehow. It might be by inviting them to church. We don't know how. We're going to build this park, and we're going to call it Philville. You know, it's going to be Philville, the park. If you haven't been around here very much, there's a joke about, I don't know. Anyway, it's Grace Park that's coming, okay? I'm not going to explain it right now. Grace Park, we're going to call it. And we're praying desperately to how we can use a piece of dirt to nurture someone's spiritual growth. We're certainly not going to preach at them while they're playing soccer, but can we connect in relationship with people that are coming on our campus and build friendships with people so that we can somehow let them know how much Jesus loves them? Be part of the community. Go out there. There's so many volunteer ways to be involved in our community. Take yourself and your love for Jesus to a community project and nurture. You don't know what impact you're going to have. You're going to be the person that God brings into that club or to that school or onto that team that someone's really going to be hurting and looking for God, and you're going to be the one that God put there to help them. Or they're going to be drifting from God, and you're going to be the person that's going to help them come back to God. Or they're going to be hurting and trying to follow God through a difficult situation, and you're going to be the one to help them go deeper with God. Go out there. Be part of the community. Be part of the community. And then finally, assist someone foreign to you. There's no doubt, as I read the Bible, that God loves all the people groups of the world, doesn't he? He loves every people group of the world. And what's amazing in the time in which we live is the people groups of the world are coming to us. And it's so easy to go to them. And because God has such a great love for the nations, we should have a great love for those that are foreign to us. whether that's getting involved in something locally that has students or adults or refugees, whether that's going on a missions trip with our church to Chile or to Mexico or to Canada or to Slovenia. Let's intentionally build a relationship with someone that is foreign to us so that we can help nurture their walk with God. Perhaps someone has brought someone to your school or God has brought someone to your workplace that is so different than you, either in their nationality or in their morality or in their understanding of God and their religious background. When they talk, you're like, I have no clue what that person is talking about. They're so different than me. Well, that person is foreign to you, but you know what? God loves them. And he wants you to connect with them, to intentionally build a relationship with them so that you can, in some way, nurture their spiritual life by telling them, you know what? I'm going to pray for you this week because I know you're going through a difficulty. Or you know what? Our church is having this kids event. You want to bring your kids. Or hey, we have a life group at our house that's talking about this topic. I just want to invite you to come. Nurture them. So serve means maybe serving somebody here in our church, engage in a community project, and assist someone who is foreign to you. That's what we mean by serve. Now, the result is Jesus is made famous and people will be drawn to him. People will be drawn to him. So if I can take all of these ideas and give you our full mission statement as a church, here it is. The mission statement in its fullest is Auburn Grace Community Church exists to make Jesus famous by intentionally building relationships that help people connect, grow, and serve. This is what you're going to be hearing over and over and over again. This is the statement that guides our decisions as leaders on what we should do and what we shouldn't do and who we should do it with. Because we are going to use this as a filter for our mission support, for our ministries, for our community outreaches. We want to intentionally build relationships. And so let me encourage you. As we wrap up 2018 and go into 2019, would you be willing to intentionally build some new relationships? Would you be willing to intentionally build some new relationships? A new and fresh relationship with God? A new and fresh relationship with someone in the community that doesn't know God? And maybe a new and fresh relationship with someone within the faith family that does know God. But as we intentionally build relationships, we want to help people connect and grow and serve. Because that is why God has put Auburn Grace Community Church in this town, in this place, at this time. That's going to be our guiding marker for the next couple of decades. Now, next Sunday, I want to get a little bit more practical on how this is going to work. So we'll talk about that again next Sunday. But that's where we're at. Connect, grow, and serve. Sound good? Should we do it? Let's do it. Let's stand together and pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you that you initiated a relationship with us. That if you had not initiated a relationship with us, we could not have one with you. That left to ourselves, we would not have sought you, and we could not find you. So thank you that you took the initiative and built a relationship with us. And Lord, now we want to build that relationship with you. I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know you, but they're searching. Lord, may they come to you. May you surround them with people that know you. May you answer their prayers. Lord, I pray for those that need to come back to you, that 2019 will be the year of the return, that we would again become passionate followers of our Lord. And Lord, there's some here that just need to go deeper. You're calling them to a deeper relationship. You're going to stretch their faith capacity to trust you and to obey you. And Lord, they're going to have strength that they never knew that they had because you've given it to them. They're going to have the ability to carry things that they never thought they'd carry and still stay strong. So thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this in each one of us. It is our desire simply to make you famous, to lift you up so that others will be drawn to you. And Lord, we have to start by making you famous in our lives and then be famous through our lives. It would be seen as hypocritical if we try to make you famous outside of our lives when you're not famous in our lives. That's the struggle we have. So may it start with us and in us, but may it draw fruit for your kingdom. Thanks for bringing us here together today. Thanks for seeing us through another year. We commit 2019 to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great holiday.